B-Pod Studios.
4 o'clock, Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 at Fanatic. It's bone cold out there today. 4 o'clock hours brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. Got up this morning, right? I didn't know how cold it was, so I put the coffee on. I had to make that coffee to go. Let's go. What are you going to take the coffee? It was a joke. So I'll put the so every now and then I do.
Yeah, you go a little
I lapse into Goodfellas. I apologize. So I put the coffee on. My dog's at the door. Boom. Now that's usually Natalie. A 15, 20-minute jaunt.
For her out there?
For a little Shima.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She's scanning the backyard looking for birds and squirrels.
Right.
So I don't even have the coffee. The coffee's not even made yet. I sit down and get to my phone, look at my digital paper. She's at the door. A two-minute.
It's cold.
Two-minute action.
It's cold
so
for your furry friends.
I look at the temperature. It's like 9 degrees mm-hmm. out.
The wind chill was like -4 or something.
It was bad.
Did you see the big moon last night? Did you see the eclipse?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go outside and see it.
It was really cool looking.
Yeah, okay. Too cold.
I was watching football.
It was after the game.
After the game.
You could have
it was over like almost midnight.
No.
What time? 11?
It's like 10 o'clock.
You want to go outside and watch the moon?
Yeah.
There was a lunar eclipse. It was red. It was neat.
Yeah, I wouldn't go see it because
I was out there.
I took my recycling and the trash down. It was hellacious. I'm not standing outside and look at the moon.
No, I didn't even know about the moon.
Yeah, we got you.
I should have texted
you. When I'm hunkered in for the night, I'm hunkered in.
You're not going out to look at the moon.
No, I mean, I got sleep shorts on and bare feet.
It was cool looking. I have pictures.
Yeah, people sent me pictures. I was like, thanks for sending me the pictures because I wasn't going to go out there and there.
Type of eclipse that burns your eyes when you look at it?
No,
it's not.
That's the solar.
This was a lunar. And because of the way that the planets were aligned, it looked red. So it was a blood moon lunar eclipse. So the moon was red.
All the planets were in alignment, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's good. It's nice that you enjoy the little things like that, Nat.
I love it.
It is. It's 10 o'clock. It's below zero. But there's a lunar eclipse.
Yeah, I won't go out there.
Cracks me up. Let's go Patrick in Mayfair. Patrick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Patrick!
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Pat?
Haven't talked to you since 07, since you told me McNabb threw worm balls. I don't know if you remember me.
He threw a few. But
no, I want to talk about Ben Simmons, too, but I just want to talk about the Wentz thing real quick.
Mm-hmm.
For some of the fans in Philly that don't realize that Wentz in college was hurt and mm-hmm. his backup had a better record than him. Then he comes to the NFL. And there's only full season where he didn't get hurt. We didn't make the playoffs. Then
he was a rookie.
Then he has a great MVP season the next year. Gets hurt, Foles leads us to the Super Bowl. Then this year, Wentz gets hurt again. Foles leads us to the playoffs. If Alshon Jeffrey doesn't drop that ball, we would be in the Super Bowl because we would have beat the Rams.
Patrick, I know you're a pro Foles-ian Society member here, right?
No. Trade Wentz for a bounty because in a year...
Yeah, that's not
our
the...
team. You gotta get our team, the team will not be as good with Wentz in a couple years because he's going to demand so much money that they're not going to have other players. You sign Foles for 3 to 5 years, you get the bounty for Wentz, you build around Foles, and you can find a quarterback. Wentz isn't nothing special. You can find a quarterback that will...
Were you saying that when he won 11 of 13 last year, had an MVP season? Were you saying he wasn't that special?
Oh, no, I loved it, because I'm an Eagles fan, but Wentz, part of being a good quarterback is having durability. He does not have it.
I just asked you a question. Were you saying that when he won 11 of 13? You said, no, you loved it. So, like, what changed?
What changed was he's not durable. He can't last. He played in South Dakota State against very, very inferior players.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patrick, you know it's not going to happen, right? You know what
I
you're
know
saying.
You got
to let it go. It's like it's like that bird you find wounded in your backyard. You can only nurse it so long. You got to let it fly.
Yeah. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Nope.
In the year that the team's
no, I don't understand what you're saying at all. No, listen. I'm the one who created that theory, the three branches of Mike. But it ended. He didn't beat New Orleans. People have just rubbed that out like it wasn't his fault at all. He didn't play well against New Orleans. He didn't play well enough.
No, he played great. It was just
Alshon. It does not register with anybody.
It was Alshon's fault. If not for Alshon, had nothing to do with the fact that they didn't score after the second drive of the game.
I don't understand. It's amazing to me that the MVP quality year Wentz had is completely forgotten. And yet, Foles not playing well against New Orleans is not even remembered. It's one of the greatest phenomenons I've ever seen.
City's weird now.
Jim in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Mike, well,
let me get the officials. They stink. And blah, blah, blah. Go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to blame officials.
Officials.
Yeah,
all right, go ahead.
Tell me if this official screwed up, Mike. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Steele, the name Steele?
The guy who calls?
From boxing.
Steele.
The Richard Steele.
The referee?
Yes.
Oh, the one that stopped Pernell Whitaker?
Not Pernell Whitaker.
What's his name? The local dude. Yeah, the local dude.
Meldrick Taylor,
right.
At the time.
Right, Meldrick Taylor.
He had Julio Cesar Chavez.
Yes, he did. Had him beaten. Yes, he did.
Except he was beat up, too. Yeah. His idiot corner told him that he had to win the 12th round, where he really didn't have to.
Huh?
He got his butt knocked down with like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I know what happened. What is your point?
Well, that's a ref who blew it. There you go. There is that does happen sometimes.
In boxing,
2 seconds left.
It's boxing. It's an individual contest.
Boxing? Did you specify boxing? I thought we were talking about all sports.
We are, but you're going to give me a boxing example that doesn't apply to NFL officiating.
I'm not equating it to NFL officiating. I'm not Tyrone. I'm not blaming the officials for the loss. I know who lost that game. His name's Sean Payton. He's over there blaming Tyrone's blaming Breach, one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Is there a point to your, like, what is the point to that, Jim?
You always do that to me.
Because you didn't ever bring a point. Give me a point.
My first point was that refs in sports can blow a game to the
And you gave me a boxing example of 25 years ago to make that point?
Yeah, hey,
that's not even a point.
You told your audience today that they had a chance to block a 57-yard field goal, too. How often does that happen, Mikey? How often do field goals get blocked?
57-yard field goals in my life.
What point were you making?
Well, you would let me make the point? 57?
Yeah, you gave that as an example.
Well, you're going to let me make the point. I'm not going to let you stay on. Tony in Norristown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Tom?
First-time caller. Okay, I'm going to reiterate a lot of what other people say, but as far as the officiating, why? Well, let me ask you this. If that was the Eagles team, would people be more in uproar?
Of course they would. Of course they would. I wouldn't be. But most people would be. No, I wouldn't be. Because I know that officiating evens out, and I know my team still would have had a chance to win the game because I took the lead.
I don't think the officiating evens out in all games because you not only have to beat the other team, but now you have to beat the officials for bad calls.
How many calls do the officials make during the course of a game, you think?
50.
Okay, so 40, like 49 of them are right, one's wrong.
Yeah, but there's a certain game-changing plays like that one
that's
wrong. And first of all, I don't care if this
Tony, it didn't change the game.
That changed the course of the game.
It didn't change the course of the game. They got a field goal to take the lead, right? The Saints then had a chance to stop the Rams. They didn't do it. And then they had a chance to move the ball in overtime, and they didn't do it. So tell me why that one call made the Saints lose.
Okay, so what if they got the call right? What would happen? The Saints would have
I don't know what would happen. They still would have had to score a touchdown. What I know is they took the lead. Now, how do you ignore that?
But it's different. It's a different. It changes the game because it changes field position.
It changes field position. They scored off of that. They scored 3 points with that field position. They took the lead.
Okay. Well, more than times, there's so many games. The officials.
Yeah, because it's easy and low-hanging fruit to blame an official because of so many games, because one call always stands out to 49 that don't. I asked you how many calls? 50. One's going to stand out because you see it on TV. The 49 other ones you don't notice. The fact that they all even out mostly, you don't notice. Andrew in Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
What's up, What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Andrew?
I want to talk about the Sixers game on Saturday against the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
They're down two. They're in the penalty. And they're at home. And they go for a three. And if they would have went to overtime, Westbrook was, you know, fouled out. So there wouldn't have been a Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, why are you taking a low percentage three-point shot that's contested instead of going for overtime?
It was a poorly designed play, but it's you don't have enough time. You're suggesting you get the ball into the post. You don't have enough time to set something like that up. He rushed the ball down. Unfortunately, he put Jimmy Butler into a double team for three, and that's the only shot they could get. It was a poorly conceived play and a poorly orchestrated play by the guy who brought the ball down the floor, which was Ben Simmons. But there didn't seem to be a spinoff. They had J.J. Redick buried in the corner where there was, like, the double team came from up top. Right, so the vacated area was at the key. You, as a coach, you have to know that's going to be a vacated area, because if you're going to have Jimmy Butler on that right side, they're going to flock to him. So, so J.J. Redick should actually have been at the key.
So do you think that was a Brett Brown fail, that play?
Yes, I think it was a poorly designed final play. Now, it's not a bad idea to want to have Jimmy Butler take that game-winning shot. But if it's not there, and it wasn't because he ran him into a double team, there's got to be an option off of that. And they didn't do it.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, man. I mean, it was clear as day. He crowded up. Ben Simmons crowded up that situation there. He handed it off, and he stayed there. Because he had no place to go, his part of the play was over. He was told, "Rush the ball up." Jimmy trails. Jimmy gets the shot. That's the play. It was the Jenkins play, is what it was. R.C. Diakono rushing up the floor in a trail and shoot the three. That's what that play was, basically.
Yeah, you know what else I didn't like? I don't like Embiid inbounding the ball and trailing down two. I want Chandler inbounding the ball so Embiid has time to get down because it's 2 points, so you have to account for him. When he's trailing, yes, it creates space underneath because Adams is guarding him. The problem is, with the play that you just said, there's no reason to have Adams up top because you're not doing anything underneath anyway.
You got it. To me, it's not that difficult. You got to have shooter-shooter. If the only thing you have time for is a perimeter jump shot, you got to have shooter in the area to make a perimeter jump shot. They only had shooter.
Right.
Right. See, the other shooter was out of the play. So that's one option. That's not a good coach play. Pat and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat.
Mike, tell all these New Orleans crybabies to take a chill pill, because you see bad calls all year in every game and you never hear anything about it. Now, here's the situation. The referee missed one call. And besides, I think it was incidental contact. Even though he had his back to the quarterback, he did put his hands up, if you recall, trying to make a play on the ball. So I don't think there's any cause for penalty there.
What play are you talking about?
There's people crying about when the defensive back interfered.
That was a clear pass interference.
You think so?
Oh, he plowed right into him.
But I've seen it a million times during the year, they never call it.
No, that was an obvious call. I don't know how they missed the call, frankly. He plowed right into him. It wasn't even close.
But you remember he put his hands up trying to make a play, even though it was back.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. If your body's not turned to the ball, you're just you're face guarding somebody. You're not playing the ball anyway, so that still should be pass interference.
But do you see it all during a regular season?
No, I don't think you do.
It's a lot. I want to ask you a question about ancient history.
Yes, ancient history. I know nothing about it.
No, when you used to do Seal Money NBA, I'm going to call you in a couple weeks because I've been reviewing some stuff about guys who are underperforming. All right?
Okay.
Have a brilliant day.
All right, buddy. There you go. All right, so I did look at that drive that was started after the two-minute warning. All right, so... Kansas City takes the lead, right?
Yeah.
2 minute 57 left.
Yeah.
Brady's putting on his helmet. Now, if you're on that sidelines and you're a New England Patriot, you have absolute total confidence.
Yep.
As soon as he puts the helmet on, there's no expression, no nothing, no let's go, rah, rah, let's go. Puts the helmet on, he gets in the field. What's the first play? They're at the 35. They actually got a really good return from Cordarrelle Patterson.
Because it was 203, and then his return, at the end of the return, it was 157 when Brady got on the field.
157, he gets on the field. First snap.
That was the 20-yard play, right?
Bang! Yeah. Right down the middle with the best pass he's thrown all day to Edelman in the middle of the field. A laser.
Yep.
As soon as he makes that throw, I go, there we go. And sure enough, bang, bang, bang. Next play is a first down. Play after that is a first down. The guy's amazing.
How does D4 go offside?
Well, listen, that's stupid. All right? That's just a boneheaded play. And there's no reason for it. But it's still, it's like, I look at that play and go, okay, it happened. It was stupid. Maybe it cost the Chiefs. I'm watching one guy.
No, I gave credit.
I'm watching 12. And I'm just mesmerized by the dude.
I think Brady is why he went offsides. I think he's so anxious to say, we have to hit this guy, which actually gives extra credit to Brandon Graham actually getting to the guy because it's so hard to get to him, that I have to get a head start. Because he's picking us apart. We can't stop him.
He's throwing to Edelman. He's throwing to Hogan. He's got Philip Dorsett in the game. That's who he's got in the game.
Yeah,
we bitch and moan about weapons. Look at that. Now, they're gritty. I give them that. Both of them, Hogan and Edelman.
Those guys catch a lot of stuff low. And then those low passes that they get on the ground and get to where only their guy can catch it. He's great at those. You talked about that. Nothing sails. Everything's headed down.
Edelman's got that hard look, too. Like that, yeah. That hard K-mail. Ricky Waters used to call Coy Detmer.
Yeah, with the...
He's going to tie. Oh, Ty, how can you get a bay face? Your brother's hard. Let's go to Brian, North Philly. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Brian?
Something quick about this pass game. As much as I was rooting against Patriots and rooting for, you know, I wanted Andy Reid to see him in the Super Bowl. I wasn't really rooting against Brady because, I mean, at this point, you just got to appreciate the art of how great he and Belichick are. I don't think you can even dispute that they're the best.
Oh, but I tell you, people just go down kicking and screaming. The Twitter reaction was, he's the luckiest quarterback. He cheats. Yeah. The guy's brilliant.
I mean, the personnel he was working with this year just makes it all the more impressive. What is this, like 9th straight Super Bowl? And he's got Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan as his, like, some of his best receivers. But I really want to talk about this Wentz article that I just think is, you hit the nail on the head earlier saying that this article is getting published. It wouldn't have gotten published 15 years ago. I mean, they said over half a dozen teammate sources or whatever. That could have been seven guys, and they're like backup running backs, third string receivers, you know. I mean, if it was somebody like Alshon, I would be very concerned. And who knows, it might have been Alshon. But the terminology used in this article, egotistical, uncompromising, like that stuff, I think they're such powerful words. And to describe the Eagles quarterback like that, like there's got to be some accountability there. You can't just publish
here's the disclaimer. I don't know if there's accountability or not. I don't know how they edited this story. All I can tell you is how I would edit a story like this. I would demand to know. This is not Woodward and Bernstein reporting this, all right? This is a guy who's a pretty underknown guy. So I don't know that I can automatically trust his sources. So I've got to ferret out the sources. I've got to say, you want this story to run, you got to tell me who exactly you talked to. And then as an editor, I handle it from there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And to see some of the bigger names on the team, you know, come out on Twitter and support him, that definitely made me feel better. I'm sure it made a lot of other people feel better. But I think that's just a crazy story to throw out at this time of...
Yeah, but again, you don't know if it's just thrown out. So I think you're being a little fair. We don't know if it's true or not. You're assuming that it's irresponsible. I don't know that it is. Maybe his sources were really good. What I'm telling you is that I wouldn't have run this story unless I did these kind of checking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying that it's definitely untrue. I'm sure something like this wouldn't come out if it weren't partly true. You know, maybe he was a little inflexible this season. He probably could have. I mean, it said something about he audibled out of a lot of run plays, which I totally believe that. I mean, they were running the ball, it seems, like, not at all during the beginning of the season.
Well, listen, here's the thing. Like, if I bring a reporter in, I go, okay, write them all down. Suppose he writes down so-and-so. Who's so-and-so? Well, he's the assistant to the assistant PR intern. I go, sorry, not good enough. Come back with me, you got more information. We'll revisit the story. I can't run it now. But it's a different age. It's a different age. Like a fledgling site like Philly Voice. Maybe they need something like this. I don't know. It's just different. The whole journalistic ethic thing is different. John in Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, John?
Not much, man. I actually called to thank you for it. You know, I'm a truck driver. I've been a truck driver for 15 years. And when I put that title on my job resume, I write professional truck driver. And I take the professional part of that very seriously. And there's a lot of truck drivers that are very irresponsible and lazy. And I feel the need to call them out on that sometimes. And I really appreciate it. I've been listening about this Wentz thing all day, and it's kind of been driving me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't, like the anonymous source thing is to me, I mean, I understand that, you know, it could be true and it could not be true, but to me, there's such a cowardice to an anonymous source on both ends, the person who publishes it and the person who gives it. It's just something that's surrounded in cowardice, no matter how you spice it. And I appreciated when you called it, you know, basically said it was kind of bordering on libel.
Well, it's actually libel. There's nothing libelous about it, which is very carefully placed that way.
Yeah. But I just think, like, you know, just the way you've been talking about it, it has been refreshing from the rest of the things I've been listening, other people talking about it all day. And you know, I really... You know, I consider you a professional, and journalism is something that I really appreciate. And I appreciate professionals in any industry. And I've got, you know, Bill Lyon books on my shelf, Ray Dittinger books on my shelf. And to me, you know, if I was in your shoes, an article like that today kind of soils a professional journalist in my mind.
Unless it's so true.
I guess the other guy kind of asked it, but as far as anonymous sources go, I mean, can you just completely make up somebody and say somebody said something? Or
there have been many national instances of journalists making up entire stories. And if anybody remembers the name Janet Cook for the Washington Post, she fabricated a story about an 8-year-old heroin addict and won a Pulitzer Prize for it. And then it had to be repudiated.
Wow.
That wasn't that long ago either.
No. Yeah.
610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Another bowl for Tom Brady. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Turn your passion for sports into a career. Check out a studio tour at a Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Cherry Hill. Visit GoCSB.com to reserve your spot. New England Patriots will head back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years after beating the Chiefs last night, 37-31 in OT. They'll face the Rams, who beat the Saints yesterday, 26-23. Sixers fell to the Thunder on Saturday, 117-115. They'll face the Rockets tonight at 8. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Our Sixers in 60 show will lead you into the game beginning at 7. Flyers won their third in a row on Saturday, beating the Canadiens 5-2. The team is now on their bye. They'll take the ice again next Monday against the Jets at home. This week, Giants saves you more with a BOGO deal on fresh, ripe strawberries. So kid-friendly, buy one, get one free on strawberries. They're thinking that's one sweet deal, only a Giant. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Mussinelli
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Mike.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's 4:30. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I just looked up that Janet Cook story that was completely fabricated. And, you know, Ben Bradley was the editor of the Washington Post for a long time and ushered through that Bernstein, what would Bernstein story? This was the next thing that came in because the Post was riding high. So they hired this reporter who had like really been a good reporter at in Toledo, Ohio, I think they got her from. They recruited her and she was, you know, their next star. And this is what she wrote. Janet Cook, 1980, September 28th. Jimmy is eight years old and a third-generation heroin addict. A precocious little boy with sandy hair, velvety brown eyes, and needle marks freckling the baby-smooth skin of his thin brown arms. He nestles in a large beige reclining chair in the living room of his comfortably furnished home in Southeast Washington. There is an almost cherubic expression on his small round face as he talks about life, clothes, money, the Baltimore Orioles, and heroin. He has been an addict since the age of five.
Wait, hold on. How did this even come to fruition?
Well, our young heroin addict.
They trusted her that her reporting had discovered this great story, and they got overzealous to run it because it was a monster, so won the Pulitzer Prize. And she goes on to tell all these details of how his everyday junkies casually buy heroin from Ron, his mother's live-in lover, in the dining room of Jimmy's home. They cook it in the kitchen and fire up in the bedrooms. And every day, Ron or someone else fires up Jimmy, plunging a needle into his bony arm.
Oh, my God. This is awful.
Yes.
Well, it's not true.
And so, from what I remember about the story, the editors did go on some kind of a hunt in Southeast Washington to look for Jimmy.
Yeah, I bet.
And they could never find him. And Janet Cook said that he had left the area and she all lost contact with him.
Right.
And they ran the story. Because they believed her in her reporting. It was very detailed reporting. It was all made up. Now, in this particular story, we have been in contact with the Philly Voice. And they claim, the editors claim, that they vetted the sources. And that they are standing behind the story. And they know who the sources are. They've identified the sources. And they have the sources on tape. So there's that.
Yeah. I mean, the question then is, I want to ask you as a newspaper man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's six sources out of 53.
Not enough.
So they very well could have them all on tape, and that's still not enough.
Not enough for
you.
Me.
Okay.
As an editor, because six could represent a radical faction of dissatisfied people that have very little credibility.
Right.
And, you know, when they say, plus other sources, close to the team. I have no idea what kind of credibility they could have. So it's one thing if they said it, it's another thing whether they have credibility in saying it. If you're saying you spoke with more than a half dozen players, and there's a roster of 53 and actually more.
Because all the IR and everything else,
right,
yeah.
Then you don't have enough for a mandate to write a story like that. And that's just me. Eric in Scotch Plains, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
How's it going today, Mike?
What's going on, Eric?
Couple quick points. The one about this whole Saints thing with the pass interference, I mean, if it happened to us, yeah, it sucks. It's a misplay. I mean, refs are human. They make mistakes. It's a quick play. But also the way I looked at it afterwards, and maybe it's just as a football fan and it's not of a fan of the Saints, but that play had no chance of ever happening if the D-back turns around. There's so many possibilities, but there was no way that was going to be a completed pass regardless. So the way I look at it as it happens, that next drive down, they missed a face mask on the Rams. The Rams would have had a first down, you know, maybe scored a touchdown to tie it with a field goal. So that stuff works the way out. That's the way I always look at it.
It always kind of even out. Now, the ones that are more dramatic, obviously the ones that people are going to remember. But it's like you're giving a side part of the game too much credit instead of the players that win or lose the game. And in that particular situation, the Saints could have won or lost the game, and they lost it.
I totally agree with that. And what you were talking about earlier, the overtime, and you were saying the idea about total yards,
mm-hmm,
deciding the ball.
Yep.
I mean, that's good, but I was also thinking the same thing. The way I look at football and see dominance on a field during the game is time of possession. So the team with more time of possession that had the ball longer, they get the ball in overtime. I mean, just another way to look at it.
Yeah, but time of possession, suppose the other team has more yards and you have more time of possession. That doesn't mean you played better than a team that advanced the ball more.
I mean,
you're advancing the ball is the name of the game, not how long you hold on to it. I mean, you can be throwing short passes, yeah,
I guess you can look at it both ways, too, even with the total yards. I mean, if you, you know, have short fields because you're picking them off or playing the field position game, you're not gaining as much yards.
That's true, the short fields. Know. There would have to be a way to subtract the short fields, and there's some kind of mathematical way to do it. I mean, we're in analytics, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's why
you can let a computer do it.
No, if you force turnovers, that has to be worth X number of yards.
Yeah.
Because if your defense forces three turnovers, that would gave them short fields. That shouldn't be held against
you.
You
can't argue with a computer.
Right. You've put it in the computer.
Computer spits something out. You can't argue. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, pull a plug out of it?
No,
you can't argue with it.
This is way better than just call it.
Exactly.
Heads.
Let's go to Ray in Levittown. Ray, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ray.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Ray?
I'm no Copernicus or Galileo, so I'm not going to try to cross swords with Mike Diavelli. But to Tyrone's point, and forget about whether they've influenced the game or win or lose the game, but you have to at least admit, if they were full-time employees and it was their only job, they would probably be a little bit more interested in being good at it.
Why? Why would they? What are they going to do all week? What are they supposed to do? You're a full-time official. You have an office. What do you do all week? How's that going to make you better on Sunday?
Because you got nothing to fall back on.
Well, so how's it going to make you better? What do you do during that week that's going to make you better that you can't do at home?
Film? Who knows?
See, it's something that sounds good, but in reality doesn't make any sense.
Anything over a full-time employee, there's no difference. Is this what you're telling me?
I am telling you that it's not going to matter at all if you make these guys full-time. I don't know. Are you going to know the rules better? You already know the rules.
But not always.
Of course you do. You wouldn't even be an official if you didn't know all the rules.
Well, all right. Well, again, there's no change in your mind.
No, because it doesn't make any sense to make them full-time. You give them an office and they sit around, twiddle their thumbs all week and do nothing.
No. Anyway, next point. This Bolzian thing is beyond belief to me. I mean, in the same sense, they're contradicting. Well, the team doesn't want to play for Carson Wentz. Oh, really? Then that means he's even better than I thought because he carried them on his back for 11 games last season. You know what I mean? And then the one guy earlier says, well, you can't just take, 11 games from last year. Well, you're only taking 4 games from Bolz in the last 2 years. I mean, are you crazy? I can't understand it.
The only thing I know is that you need more than a half dozen players if you got that on record and half dozen players tell you. That's not even close to like a 16th of the team.
No, and like you said, it could be, some practice squad guys. Somebody's finally talking to me. Mm-hmm. Let me say something she wants me to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
So there's a lot involved, but
all right, man.
Anyhow.
All right. See, you didn't think, Tyrone, that's something that sounds better than it actually is. Make them full-time officials.
No, it doesn't. You watch film, you can do a ton of things.
Watch film all week at home anyway.
No, you can't.
Why?
Because you have a full-time job.
In the nighttime, you watch film.
That's not enough.
How much film can you possibly watch?
8 hours worth?
That make you a better official.
8 hours worth? That's 2 games a day, all the time. There's tons of games every week.
You're still going to be bad. You're still going to miss calls.
No mercy.
Whether you have a full-time job or not, you're still going to miss calls on the field because the game is too fast.
That play's not hard, Mike. The face mask they miss with golf.
So if you were
not hard.
So if you're a full time official and you had an office in New York,
or wherever,
you would be able to make that call better.
I feel like you would be. You'd be better prepared. And if you didn't, you're fired. Like there's got to be some, and it's got to be public. It has to be a public shame. Helps.
Fire the guy who didn't make the call.
Look at us. If we get something wrong, we misspeak. We're speaking live. Like we do this off the cuff live. Mm-hmm. Like we don't know what a caller's going to say.
Yep.
We get stuff wrong live all the time. Mm-hmm. People get on social media and say, "Oh, it was this. Oh, it was that." We have to take that. They're on TV. They're in front of people. They should have to answer for it at least afterwards and say, "Okay, I watched it. Show a replay and have the ref speak on it." Because then you're transparent and the fans feel better about it. And again, I agree, they didn't decide the game. Drew Brees lost the game. Drew Brees has to complete passes before it gets to that play, and he can't throw an interception in overtime. Drew Brees is why they lost.
That official didn't make that call of falling a sword after the game, being interviewed by
the two of them.
Who was the sideline reporter?
Oh, I don't remember.
Is there a sideline reporter?
Yeah, there was. I forget who it was. Aaron Andrews.
Was it Aaron?
I think because that was the number one Fox crew? No. Yeah.
And it's obviously official. I go, yeah, you know what? I apologize, America. I blew the call, but, you know, they let the Rams come down the field on them.
You just have to answer the play. I don't want all your editorial. I want to know what happened on that play. Your job. How'd you miss the face mask?
I apologize. Rams beat their defense and the quarterback threw an interception. But I take the blame. It's my fault. I'm sorry, America. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports. Philadelphia, big Sixers game tonight. Sixers, Houston Rockets, they still 4-point favorite, Tyrone?
Last I looked, I got to check again. Let's check right now.
And is it true the Patriots are the favorite, the early favorite in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, for about 1 second it was the Rams, and now it's two Patriots. Patriots 2.
Is that going to be an exciting Super Bowl? Would you rather have the Saints in there? I think it's going to be exciting.
No? Yeah, for the people that watch it, I think it's going to be awesome.
Tyrone boycott the Super Bowl because of those damn officials. He's not going to take it anymore.
I got two rules. I don't go to towns where people tell me the cops are bad. And I don't watch sports where I know the refs are bad. Oh. If the arbiters of justice can't handle their job, I'm out. Now, if the Eagles, if I was being paid to watch, I'd do my job.
You're stubborn.
There's
man.
Towns in Jersey where they say they're going to pull you over for sure. I don't go to those towns. Same thing with this. I don't go to a game. NFL gets paid a lot of money. Fix it. You're rich. Fix it. All no right. excuse. And the Sixers are
4.5 point.
Favorite. Oh, went back up some.
4.5 point.
Yeah, they're going to win the game.
Yeah, I like them too. All right, let's go to Spider in South Philly. What's up, Spider?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, man?
Ain't not much. I'm good, man. Listen, the refs blew that game for them. That's all I'm going to say, man. Because, listen, the Rams ain't had no timeouts left. It was a minute and 41 seconds left. If they give them that first down at the 13-yard line, they either get a chance to score a touchdown or bleed the rest of the time off the clock. How can you not say
you
that?
You don't know. Suppose they would have fumbled. You don't know
come
that for
on,
you.
No.
See, here's the only thing you know, right. Spider.
Well, they didn't get a chance.
See, you don't know. Don't know that what would have happened. What you said happened. You don't know that. But what you do know is this: they kicked the game leading field goal and had a chance
to. It doesn't matter.
Is their defense not on the field?
Yeah.
Does their defense have a chance to stop the other team?
The Rams have a high power offense that can.
Well, that's too damn bad. So find a way to stop them. You got control of the game. You got the lead and control of the game. That's what you know. You're giving me the unknown, Spider.
You know that means something.
Spider,
no timeouts,
listen.
A minute and 41 seconds left.
Spider,
and you got a first down.
You are assuming.
The game is over. So,
you're assuming that something's going to happen that you say is going to happen. You can't assume that. You assume what happened.
They could have knelt the ball three times in one.
They didn't.
They can kneel the ball down.
And
they had to run another play.
All right, Spider, listen.
A minute and 40 seconds left on the clock.
I guess it wasn't enough for them to have the lead with a chance to stop the other team. I guess that wasn't enough. I guess they needed like the officials to secure a victory for them. Sean and Pine Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Mike, before I start, my ADD might kick in. I'm going to go all over the place. But first off, rest in peace to Dr. King, 39 years too young.
Yes, absolutely.
Secondly, Tyrone, I always lose an hour of sleep because I stay up and watch your show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And here's my thing. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The town of Whoville, I've never seen them this pissed off since the Grinch stole Christmas. Because wasn't the Saints up 13-0? if I recall.
They were. They lost the lead.
In their building.
Yeah, lost the lead.
But this one call decided the whole game. That's ridiculous.
And that's what the low-hanging fruit is. This is why it ticks me off. Everybody goes for the low-hanging fruit.
I can't stand it. Because did anyone watch the game after that where the refs made the call with Hogan with the catch? Yes, it was a replay.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But Hogan with the one-handed catch, did they get that call wrong? Nope, they got the call right.
Yeah,
they get the call wrong,
and then they got they looked at the other one and said he didn't catch it, which was right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I just it's the red. They're not going to change it. They lost. Like when you're up 13-0, you're going to cry about this one call. Like get over it, okay? And the Carson Wentz article. Did CNN report that?
No,
because I know they didn't, but I'm just saying because I think it's all falsified. I think it's fake.
The entity stands by it. And we either you or I don't know about the sources or who the sources were, whether they are verified or not. What I'm saying is you need a lot more than a half dozen players to make a story.
Yeah, I agree. And I got one more question for you. At this point in time, I believe that the Rams made the right draft pick with Goff over Wentz at this point in time. Do you agree with me?
No.
And why not?
I just haven't seen enough of Wentz. And I've seen Goff mess up. He's got a great team around him. He's got great skill players. He may be. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not ready to say that right now.
I'd love to see Wentz with Gurley.
Yeah.
And all those guys. If Wentz messes that up, then by all means.
They got a squad.
Yeah.
The Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The other fabrication, it was the New York Times. In the early 2000s, I believe. A guy named Jonathan Blair. I think that was his name. Jonathan Blair? Jason Blair.
Yeah.
Fabricated
stories.
That was the most recent one. He fabricated stories. He plagiarized stories. He filed stories from places that he had never been. He was given a dateline saying he was doing the story from here. He wasn't there.
And apparently he did it in college and got away with it somehow and kept on doing like he did it for his whole career.
Yeah, that was the most recent. The cook was the most famous. That was the most recent.
Yeah.
I think that'll be about the end of the line here on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Don't forget the Sixers game on NBC. Oh, no, were the Sixers on NBC Sports Philly tonight?
No,
they're national.
National. Sixers outsiders immediately after the game,
so
everybody.
Sixers outsiders on NBC Sports Philadelphia after a national TV game.
Yep, immediately after. So
Look at you, man.
I'm trying,
Wait, the no post-game show, but Sixers outsider?
Right, the Sixers
Who's
outsiders.
Who's got the clout down there?
Listen.
Who's got it?
Come on, Mike. Cut it out. But tune in, please. We need those rating points. Let's go.
Why don't you wear that Penn State shirt today?
It's Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, that's right.
I'll wear it tomorrow. Right. No, Wednesday's game I'm wearing it.
Are you going to wear it Wednesday?
Wednesday's
seriously?
Game. Yep, seriously.
Oh, stay tuned for that. Thanks for watching, everybody, on NBC Sports Philly. Mike Pistano's show comes back on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.